Welcome to the Hand On Business Podcast. Where else are you going to come to get tips, tricks, and advice on growing your business? As you know, what people tend to love about this podcast is that it is a place where you can hear real business leaders discussing systems, methodologies, and strategies that they have used to help them catapult growth in their business. So I'm your podcast host, Hakeem Adebiyi, and I've grown several small businesses to multi-million pound enterprises and noticed that there wasn't really a place that focused on where I was, i.e. growing a small business. All of the content that seemed to be out there was about big business and often just a lot of theory and no practical implementable advice, which is exactly why I set up this podcast. And today we talk to Alexis Kingsbury. Alexis is a business system strategist and he's going to talk to us about the power of systemizing business with procedures and processes. And this episode is all about how to put systems into your business so that it runs like a well-oiled machine. And he will be discussing the types of systems every business needs, the best and easiest way to start systemizing your business, and the reason why people and processes are critical in the rapid scaling of your business. And obviously, as always, lots more. Happy listening. Delighted to have Alexis Kingsbury on the show today. Alexis, who is the co-founder of Air Manual, a startup that helps businesses, not just business, but helps businesses document their processes as well as onboard and train employees. So I've always found that one of the biggest challenges that I've seen in businesses is that no matter how small or how large they are, they don't have enough time. And one of the reasons for this is that they have poor processes because it's a time stealer and it can also drain a lot of cash due to inefficiencies when you don't have them. So I want to speak to Alexis today about the power of systemizing business procedures and processes. So welcome, Alexis.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for having me today here, Hakeem.
No, my pleasure. And thank you for coming on. So let's jump straight into it. And I always like to give a bit of a background to what people are doing and why they're on the show. So just tell me a bit more about your journey to get to where you are today and why you're the systemizing guru.
Sure. So I guess my background, I've always been an entrepreneurial person, I guess, you know, right back to when I was like 12, 13 years old, I was starting businesses, selling newsletters, washing cars, all sorts of things, trying to build my business empire. But I could never see how to scale the business beyond just me. As soon as things went well, I'd get busy and then I couldn't grow it any further and I couldn't work out what to do. So I went to university, studied management science to try and learn there how to do it. Still couldn't work it out. So I went and became a management consultant where I was working with organizations like AstraZeneca and Honda and BP and UK government and so on, really large organizations that were delivering at scale. And it was there that I learned how they were doing that. And that was through a combination of people and process. And you can kind of get away with having one of them in good shape and the other one not so much. It kind of works. Like if you've got really great people but your processes are a bit lacking, the people can maybe get around it and vice versa. But what I saw is where things really sing and the business scales quickly and that it's not stressful, people enjoy it, like everything's working, is where you've got great people who are working with great processes. And so once I saw that, when I then left to start my own businesses, I was really excited about, okay, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to bring in people. We're going to do a really good job of the processes and we'll grow and scale. And in the early days, it was just me and my business partner. And I think one of the things that I'd learned from that lesson was, or learned early on, was how important it is to make sure that you've got good product and market fit, that you're solving a real problem and so on. So it took a little while for us to get that to work. But once it did, we were then able to kind of grow the team and so on. Now, unfortunately, I made loads of mistakes early on. I didn't give enough guidance. I didn't give the training and all these sorts of things. Messed up loads and loads of time. Ended up having to make staff redundant because they weren't able to get good results. I lost good staff that were getting good results because we weren't supporting them and managing them. But ultimately, I'm pleased to say that we did eventually work it out. And as a result, I now have multiple businesses with globally remote teams helping over 550 organizations around the world, including well-known brands like PwC and Swarovski and 3M and so on, helping them solve some of their their biggest challenges, particularly relating to kind of people and process issues. But also we've built an amazing team of people from 9 countries, 5 continents currently. And, you know, we've been able to do that by putting really effective processes in place and hiring great people. So I feel really happy about where we've got to, but it was not an easy, smooth or quick journey to get there. But now we get to help other business owners to solve those sorts of problems, having, you know, not come to it naturally myself, shall we say.
Well, I mean, the good thing is it a good thing? But nothing that is worthwhile is ever easy, I would suggest. And it's just interesting because I'm thinking, you know, you're talking about putting those processes in place, having process plus people helps you sing. And people may be listening or watching and thinking, oh, well, yeah, well, if you've got a globally remote team, then you need to have processes in place because otherwise, how can you manage them? Is it more or less important in a remote team as it is in a team, say, for example, you're all in an office?
Yeah, great question. I'd say it's important in both. I think that, for example, we know there is data that shows that planes are more likely to take off and land successfully, and that heart operations are more likely to result in good patient outcomes when people follow processes, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I've actually got a friend who flies jet airplanes, and I asked him, like, do you complete the checklist every single time? And his answer could be paraphrased to only the times where I want the plane to stay in the air, right? It's like doing those things is definitely always good for your business, regardless of whether you're in person or not. I think that it's probably fair to say that if you are working remotely or perhaps even hybrid working might even be even more important than either end of the scale, because ultimately where you need processes and checklists and all those sorts of things more is when things get complex, when communication becomes more challenging, and when the stakes are higher, right? So in an example of an aircraft or a surgery, the stakes are very high, but also it's complex. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. And in some cases, there might be multiple people involved, pilot, co-pilot, cabin crew, etc. You don't have as many cabin crew for a surgery, but I believe there are different people. You need that communication between them. And so it's easy for there to be drop balls. And so my experience in any business, as soon as you start having more than one team member in it, you start to hit those challenges. You start to have the opportunity for dropped balls, misunderstandings, things being done in a slightly different way that isn't effective as another. And that's when the value of processes really comes into its own. Obviously, working remotely can increase some of the communication challenges because you're not able to immediately see what someone's doing. Like, you know, if you sat in the cockpit with someone, you can see whether they're checking the fuel and so on. If you're having to do that remotely, that's a bit more challenging. So I agree that it sort of exacerbates some of those issues, but it's important in any situation, really.
I've always found, and I think people who know me know I'm a bit of an obsessive about processes, and I think it's because processes in my mind help you reproduce the result that you want. So if I know that this process works and it's worked and I've done it a few times, then I want to make sure, if I've done it more than 2 or 3 or 4 times, that I want to make sure that I follow the process and other people follow the process if I'm trying to get that result. And it doesn't mean that that's the process, I never change it, because obviously it evolves and it improves as you get more information on board. But that to me is one of the key things and reason why I like process, because it gives me kind of stability in terms of, right, whatever the situation is, if I follow this process, notwithstanding other things that can happen, I'm probably going to get that same result or the desired result that I'm after. So, and that's, I suppose, what Air Manual does. Just talk to me a bit more about that, because it sounds very interesting. So I'm really key for people to understand what you're doing there.
Yeah, sure. So what we're doing at Air Manual is ultimately we're helping business leaders to document their processes and their onboarding as simple interactive checklists, ultimately, so that you can, as you say, get consistent results from your people. free up your own time and be able to delegate the lower value adding tasks that versus those that you could be spending your time on. Reduce mistakes and reduce the drop balls so that you get higher performance. For example, let's say that you've got a sales process. You want to make sure as part of a discovery call with a customer that you ask these 7 key questions, because you've worked out that if you don't ask those, it creates problems later on. Maybe you can't link some of your features back to the problems that they've got, or maybe it's that you've not anchored the kind of financial value of the problem that you're solving. Whatever it is, you want those things to happen repeatedly. You know, and I was at a workshop a few days ago where the presenters were talking about how at McDonald's, when you go and order a burger, what's the question that you get asked immediately as soon as you say, "Hi there, I'd like a cheeseburger"? Immediate question back is, "Do you want fries with that?" And what was interesting is the people that were talking said that they'd done some calculations, and they calculated that question, that one question, is probably worth about £1 million per day in profit to McDonald's, right? Just that one question. Now, you could leave it up to chance. You could say, yeah, you know, some of our employees ask that question, some don't. That's the kind of cost we're talking about. And it's not just about one question. It's every question. It's every way in which you do most aspects of your business. And it's not about every single process and step, but the things that add the most value need to be done in a consistent way. Otherwise, you're leaving that money on the table. You're increasing the risk in your business. You're increasing key person dependency, all those sorts of things that ultimately make business worse and more stressful. So that's what we're all about helping people solve, is making sure that the way in which business is done is consistent and that they're able to delegate and so on more effectively. The issue is that this isn't new information for people. Like most great best-selling books out there for small businesses, like The E-Myth and Traction and Checklist Manifesto and Clockwork and even the 4-Hour Workweek and so on, they all tell you essentially what I'm just saying, which is document and delegate. Like, get your process, get it documented, hand it over to someone and continuously improve it. That bit isn't new information. And most business owners, as a result, have tried to document their processes. The problem is that none of those books and the guidance that's out there tells you how to make it easy and how to make it sustainable, how to make sure that your team will actually be able to follow the process and that they will keep it up to date and continuously improved over time. And so most business owners have had this experience where they've tried to document and delegate, they get some initial success, but then after a while it becomes a mess and they're back to square one. And so that is what we sought out to solve based on our own experience of the businesses as consultants, but also building our own software businesses and other businesses in the past. And so that's what we do through Air Manual, predominantly through a tool. So we provide an online tool for making it really low friction, really easy to create processes that are interactive and can be followed and can be improved really, really quickly. But ultimately, it's not just about the tool, it's about creating a culture of process usage and improvement. And so we provide guidance and checklists and templates and so on, and paid consulting where appropriate to help people really implement it in their business. Because when you do, the value of it is easily into 6 figures, often 7 figures over time, in terms of the cost savings and the opportunity cost and the value to the business. That's what I love, is that we're helping people fundamentally solve a problem which previously was just kind of an open area where people were having lots of problems. But actually, it's not even about the thing that excites me most is not even about the financial impact and the ability to grow the business and so on, although that's awesome. Often it's about being able to free up time for what matters most, which is like family time and things like that, or reducing the stress so that people aren't going to burn out in their business, or removing key person dependencies so they can take the first holiday that they've ever taken in the business. You know, these are things that they matter, right? This is what life is made of. And so that's what we get to do every day at Air Manual.
Excellent. And so in terms of, because you've obviously, as you said, you've got quite a few businesses, you've got things like Spider Gap. Are they relevant to this conversation, or is Air Manual your main systemization tool?
Yeah, Air Manual is our main systemization tool. SpiderGap is a 360-degree feedback tool. So that's all about employee development. And that was that's a software business that we still own. We built it over many years. And now that business runs operationally without me or my co-founder. Got a fantastic team in place. They follow lots of processes. And as a result, we're not required day-to-day in that business. In fact, I think the only thing I ever need to do these days is basically provide a signature occasionally on director documents. Everything else is done by that team. But, you know, we didn't get there overnight and we made lots of mistakes along the way until we kind of worked out this better approach. But yeah, so it's, as you say, I've got a few businesses that I've cut my teeth and learned how to do this effectively, but it's with Air Manual that we're now able to help other businesses to do it. And I'm pleased to say I've now helped many business leaders, over 100, to free up their time and remove the stress from their business and so on. And in many cases, unlock growth, right? So often that's one of the things that I find interesting is often it's a common problem that is both taking up all their time, creating all the stress and holding back the business. You know, whether it's that they are the bottleneck for everything, or whether it's that it takes them so long to train people and get people up to speed in roles, or that they've got an area of the business that is falling over and making lots of mistakes. You know, when that's happening, it's taking up all your time, it's causing all your stress, and it's holding the business back. And when you fix that, it's like a switch goes. Suddenly, you get all this time, it's not stressful anymore, and the business is able to grow again.
And so, from what you're saying, because you said right at the outset that, you know, you need two main things really to drive the business, people and processes, and you can kind of do with one being suboptimal. So I'm assuming what you're saying is a disorganized business, i.e. a business that hasn't got processes, is not going to be able to grow as fast as a business that has a proper organizational structure in terms of the processes within it.
100%. Just think about comparison. Like if you took, we used the example of McDonald's earlier, you imagine that you put another burger chain, and let's say that in one burger chain, you've got really, really awesome people. You know, McDonald's, I'm sure that the people are great, but it is known to be a pretty entry level kind of role for a lot of people. Let's say that at burger chain B, we'll call it Burger Queen, where you decide that actually you're going to employ really amazing chefs and so on. And as a result, you don't need the processes in the same way. First thing is it's going to be a lot more expensive, right? You're going to have to pay a lot more for those staff than McDonald's will next door. As a result, you're going to really struggle to make either similar profit margins or provide similar prices. So already you're going to be struggling from the outset in terms of your ability to compete. Secondly, even though you've got amazing people, that doesn't necessarily, like when those people go on holiday or leave or are sick or whatever, someone else has got to pick up for them. How are they going to get set up and trained and whatever? What's going to end up happening is you end up having to say, oh, I'm really sorry, Tim. I know that now's a particularly difficult period for you with the passing of your father, but you know, no one else knows how to grill these burgers in the way you do. Like, you need that stuff documented and available as training and onboarding so that other people can do it and do a really good job. So whilst it is possible in businesses to get away with either having great people and meh processes or vice versa, where your business really can grow, as you say, is when you've got some really great people who are making sure that the lower value activities or just business activities in general are well organized, that they've got the processes in place. And as a result, things happen consistently and that you're able to continuously improve. You know, it's one of my favorite things. Like if I take a sales process, I remember a time in our business when we realized, probably by reading a book, we're big on reading and learning and so on. We realized that at the end of every sales conversation, we should always be looking to arrange the next call. We shouldn't be saying, oh, you know, let us know if you're interested, or, you know, we'll send you an email and maybe then we can arrange a follow-up call. Suboptimal. We should, on that call, make sure that we say, right, it sounds like the best next step would be to set you up with a free trial and walk you through it, or have a meeting with your bosses so that we can explore whether they feel like this would be a good fit, or review a proposal that we're going to agree with you. Whatever it is, we worked out that would be a really important thing. Now, for a business where you don't have processes written down for how you do your sales, you'd have to just teach your people that. You'd say, hey, by the way, please make sure that you do that. And sometimes they would and sometimes they wouldn't. Whereas when you've got your process documented, you can literally just add a step. You can just say, okay, yeah, da-da-da-da-da, demo the product, do this. And then, important, arrange next call before the call ends. And it's like, you know, make sure you leave 5 minutes before this or whatever. Here's how to deal with common objections to arranging a follow-up call. Like, you can put that in there so that it happens every time. And just like asking, do you want fries with that? It fundamentally adds percentage points to your ability to convert customers, which ultimately goes straight to the bottom line and means that you're, as a business, you're going to be more successful, you're going to be able to help more people, and you're going to be able to do less work to get the same results.
And I think it's a really good point, that, and that example of the sales one, because I was just thinking as you were saying it, I can still remember many, many years ago, I won't say how many, when I did my first sales training course and they gave me a sales model. And actually, the process gives you comfort as a new individual as well, that actually you're thinking, well, I'm going to be a salesperson. I've got no idea how to sell because I've never really done it. And then when they give you like this format to follow, and then, as you said, the last one on that was an S actually, which was seek follow-up. And you just go through it all the time. And if you come out of a call and you think, oh, bloody hell, I haven't done that, then the next time you'll definitely do it because that's the way you've been trained. And I think that's really important. And it's an interesting thing because I think, as you said, and identified, all leaders understand it, all businesses know that it should be done. So I suppose the question is, why don't they do it? Because you'll have seen lots of businesses where the processes are shocking, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And there are a few reasons. I'd say the most common one is often just overwhelm. So they will, like, for example, working with an owner of a printing business, where he was working 60-hour weeks, so working evenings, weekends, not getting time with his family, super stressed. Business performing, you know, well, like things had got busy, but as a result, he was completely stuck working in the business rather than on it. And I remember saying to him, well, you know, like, I'd love to help you out of this. And he said, oh, you know, I've barely got time to even think about it. Now, that's the first thing, right, is a common sign. Like, you know, when you're thinking, oh, I haven't got time to learn how to manage my time better, right? It's the same thing. It's people not investing the time to save the time. So that's the first thing. But then the next thing, so I said, well, where, you know, so what do you think you need to do? And he said, oh, I feel so busy. I don't even know where to start. So I think it's the next thing. It's like just feeling so overwhelmed. You can't even imagine what the next step would be. So I said, well, where are you currently spending your time? What's causing you the most pain? And he said, well, you know, and he came up with a few different processes. But there was one in particular where he said, I'm doing about 3 hours a day responding to requests for quotes from customers for, you know, doing print items. And he said, I know, Alexis, I need to get documented, but I figure it'd take me about 8 hours to get documented, and I've just not found the time. Now, for the mathematically astute, you'll realize that even if it took him 8 hours, he'd get 15 hours back each week because it's 3 hours per day. Yeah. As a result, he'd get that time back within a week, right? So that'd be a good investment in his time. But he hadn't done that. So I said, well, we've got 45 minutes left of this call. Let's see what we can do. And in less than 30 minutes, we documented the high-level steps, the tricky bits in a bit more detail. And we did all this in Air Manual. It's got like, you can really simply like capture the high-level steps, and then it's like it concertinas so that you can open up the steps and add more detail, screenshots, video, whatever, where needed. But we like got all the high-level stuff in first, then added a bit more detail. Then we added these little opening, like collapse, expand and collapse help boxes to cover common and high-impact mistakes, where they often get made. So we put those in. And all of that took less than 30 minutes, by the way, not 8 hours. And then we arranged a follow-up call with his account management team, and we handed over the process to them. And as a result, they were able to do quotes with customers, and it saved him 15 hours per week immediately after like 2 hours total. And that's the thing, like the overwhelm meant that he couldn't see how to get out of it, what he needed to do. And when he did realize what he needed to do, he couldn't even see a way of making the time because he was massively overestimating what was required so that he could get it off his plate. And so like 2 hours meant he got 15 hours per week back. That's 780 hours per year, or put it another way, his weekends, time with his family, back as a result. And the funny thing is, I said, you know, we do an impact review as part of our consulting projects with clients. And so I asked him at the end, I say, you know, what's been one of the most valuable? And presumably it's the time that you've saved. And we were just looking at that particular process there. And he said, actually, no. I said, what? Sure. I mean, you've saved 15 hours per week as a business owner. That's fantastic. Like, how can it, anything be more? He said that previously it used to take him 3 days on average to get back to customers for their quote requests. And now his account managers are doing it in under an hour. Now, you imagine that you've requested a quote from two printing companies and one comes back in 3 days and the other one comes back in 1 hour. Which one do you go with, regardless of price, right? And so you can imagine the impact on his conversion rate. And I just love that, because, you know, you asked, like, what's holding people back? The impact on conversion rate, the impact on his time, like, all of that, like, that would pay for the tool, for all the consulting that he could possibly want for a year, like, for years working with us from that one process. And of course, that was literally one. Like, since then, we've then worked on a variety of processes with him so that he's now no longer required day to day in that business. Like, gone from 60 hours a week working in the business to zero working in the business. And now it's all on it. And so I think that that is one of the most common issues that people have, is that sense of overwhelm and not knowing where to start and just thinking it's too big. The other one, it would be around mindset towards process. I think, you know, you've alluded it to it, Hakeem, which is that I think some people, they almost hold back from process. It's almost like putting us in boxes and saying, oh, we're process people, we're structured people. And then there are other people who go, oh, I'm not a processor, I'm not process orientated, and so on. And as a result, they hold back from it. They think, oh, I don't want structure. I want freedom in my business. Yeah. I want creativity in my business. But the reality is that you don't get freedom and space for creativity when you're stuck in your business, responding to quotes and doing day-to-day accounts and sending invoices and all those sorts of things. That's not good quality, free, creative time. If you want that time, you need to get that systemized and passed to someone else. And then that creates space for freedom and creativity. And so I think when you have that mindset shift and realize that even if you're not a process-oriented person, your whole life is filled with things that you care a lot about and you care about how they're done, whether it's the right way to fill your dishwasher or hang up your clothes, or whether it's how you like your tea made in the morning or whatever it is, there are various things where you care probably quite a lot, more than you'd like to admit, about exactly how it's done. And if it's not done in that way, then you get an inconsistent result. Like, if I said, yeah, I'll make you a cup of tea, but I'm going to put in everything except the hot water. So the milk's gone in with the tea bag and the sugar's on it and so on. And then I'm stirring it and then I'll add the hot water. No more stirring. You'd be livid. Be a disgusting, horrible abomination of a drink. And yet, you know, you add a few steps in there, do things in the right order, and suddenly you end up with something that's truly lovely. So I think that's the other challenge, is that people almost imagine that adding structure in the business is a negative, can have a negative impact for it. And actually, when you do it right, it just doesn't. It creates more space. You know, the fact that pilots and heart surgeons and so on use processes and checklists to create better outcomes shows you that smart people, even creative people that, you know, have to think on their feet and so on, respond really well when given that structure. I think that's some of the reasons. There's loads more.
I think that's that mindset shift is a real key, because I've never thought about that before. I think people who know me now would definitely say, oh, you're a process person. But when I was younger, I think I had that mindset. I don't want to be a process person because process is boring. And, you know, people who have processes, because my dad was an accountant, so obviously he followed the process. And you look and think, yeah, no, I don't want to be like an accountant. But then what I realized as I got deeper and deeper into business is process, as you just identified, gives efficiency. It gives efficiency and it gives you time to do all the stuff that you do like, because you're not wasting your time trying to, even down to email, the way I manage my email. I can't remember what the book was called, but I remember someone introduced me to a book many, many years ago, which is about how to efficiently manage your email so that you're not just spending all that day going through emails, and I see people doing it, and I train people on how to manage their emails, because I said, it takes me about 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day to go through my emails. And then, yes, there's a big piece of work I have to do, but I'm not spending time just going through my email. You see some people just going through the email every minute of every day because they haven't got a process in how to manage it. And they say, how do you do it? I said, well, you need to have a process. So I think that's a really interesting one, because I've never, ever thought about actually a lot of it is that mindset shift and people, process. Because even I do a lot of stuff around sales, and I'm obsessive around the process around sales. And salespeople are those sort of people that you just talk about. Oh, it's all about creative. Is it an art form? Is it a science? You know, I can't be constricted by these strange sales models. Well, I've used a sales model for quite some time, and I've been relatively successful. And everyone I've managed and trained in these processes have always been successful. And the ones that generally aren't are the ones who, when you ask them how they're successful, they can't tell you. So they can't reproduce it because, I'll just do it naturally. Yeah. But when you then go into a situation which is slightly different, or there's other things that you have to take into consideration, all of a sudden you stop being successful because you haven't modeled what you're doing.
100%. Like I remember for my other business, my first ever sales hire, we're really, you know, we're worried that, can I bring someone in who can get really good results? You know, we haven't got loads of money. It's going to be a big bet for us. So we spent a long time in the recruitment process. We got a lot of candidates and so on. And we ended up hiring someone who had done £1 million in sales in the previous year for a similar piece of HR software. So we thought, fantastic. This is going to solve all our problems, right? And so brought him in. I thought, I don't want to ruin the magic. Like, you know, he's the salesperson, not me. Like, I'm just finding my way. He's the experienced guy. So I'll trust him to do it, you know, trusting the great people rather than the process. You know, and he's great, you know, you put him on a conversation with anyone and he can, you know, get on really well and have good rapport and so on. And so we waited. We thought, okay, for a few weeks, like no major sales or whatever. It's, you know, it's early days yet. So wait another month, then 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. We get to a point where, like, it's not even getting the same results as I was getting. Never mind getting on for £1 million in revenue. And so we had to make him redundant. And actually, at that point, I had to make another staff member redundant as well, because we'd basically hired a developer where the idea was it would free up time for my business partner, because he was our CTO. But he was finding that he was spending so much time reviewing the code of this staff member that he may as well have just been writing the code himself. And so in both cases, we realized it's like we haven't put the processes in place. We haven't given them the guidance so that they can do a good job. The developer hasn't got guidance and checklists so that they can self-manage and make sure that they're writing good code that's well-tested and all those sort of stuff. And so my business partner, Paddy, was having to pick him up on all this basic stuff. Equally for my salesperson, he wasn't given the guidance on what works in terms of how to have a discovery call with the customer, what's an appropriate next steps, how to take them to that. And so as a result, he wasn't getting repeatable results. And so it was there that I realized, like, if you want to make sure that your investment in people and spending that serious amount of money, yes, get great people with skills and good value fit, but in terms of the knowledge of how to make it work and the process, that you need to be giving them based on what you've worked out works. And it makes such a difference when you do, right? It's so incredible. And as you say, like, mindset is a really tricky thing. Like, I've got a friend who's a coach. And he was just saying a few weeks ago, you know, he, despite the fact as a coach, he would recommend business owners put processes in their business, and yet knows that he himself in the past has been like almost phobic of processes, and that he thinks of it as you say, as boring and as painful and restrictive and so on. What was really interesting is that another coach that he works with gave him a way of reframing it. She said that think of it as habits. You like habits, you like routines, because he's into his fitness. So he gets that if you want to be fit, if you want good personal performance and high levels of energy and so on, then a daily morning routine is a really powerful thing to do. You know, making sure that you're getting up in a particular way, doing a series of things that get you a particular results. And he buys into that, right? He buys into regular habits get you consistent results and give you better performance. For him, it was that this day clicked. It's like, oh, and that's what process is. A process is just your checklist for how you want to do it so that you make sure it happens every time. the same way and gets you the consistent results, and that you can continuously improve it. And when you start thinking of it as habits or routines or whatever, and how you're just turning that into a way in which other people in your organization can do it repeatedly and without you having to be involved every single time, suddenly that changes things and you can start to get great results.
And I think you're just saying something there about, when you're talking about the example of making someone redundant, and that's always the first question that I ask myself or ask of members of staff when they say, oh, this person's not performing. But all right, so do they know what they're supposed to be doing? And do they know how they're supposed to be doing it? Because people always assume that actually that person's not performing because it's an attitude issue or they haven't got the skill. They might just not have been trained properly, and therefore your expectation and their expectation are two different things. And I think that's another thing that process gives you, because it means that you know that they are clear about what you expect because you've given them a process to follow. So if they're not following the process, then that's an issue, or they can't follow the process because they're not good enough, because that does happen, then you can quite easily identify, right, I know what the issue is here. And either I just give them more training or they might not be right for this specific job. But I think the process allows, firstly, onboarding, which obviously Air Manual does quickly, but then also it allows you to identify, well, what actually is the problem here? And that's why I'm always quite useful. And when you were talking about Air Manual, because I've not used it, full disclosure, but I'm obviously going to start looking at it, because one of the things I did, because I've been looking for something of that nature, because in my last business, what I did, was I just started getting people, because if you say document all your process, everyone goes, oh my God, it's going to take me forever. So I said, right, go and download Loom or sign up to Loom, and any process that you know that you're going to do more than twice, record it. Record your screen and record it. And we just had a massive, so our manual became like basically just a series of videos. So anyone who started, you say, right, that's how you do this, that's how you do that. Because people, not everybody, but often people are visual and it's easy to follow along than when you get a massive manual like this at the beginning of your training, you think, oh my God. You know, you just say, no, you want to know how to do an order. There you go. You want to know how to onboard one of your clients, do this. You want to know how to do a discovery call, watch here. And I found that really useful. So when you were talking about Air Manual, because you're doing a mixture of those things, and I think that really helped. Because that was going to be one of my questions, where do you start? That seems to me to be where you start. You start videoing it, but then also Air Manual seems to be, to my mind, a perfect place to start documenting your processes and getting them in place. I mean, if someone couldn't afford Air Manual, what would you say they would do? Obviously, Air Manual is what you'd want them to do, but if they couldn't, what would your advice be?
Yeah, so I'd say that the most common things that people tend to do are, when they try and do this, is that they'll use like Word or Google Docs or something like that, and they'll come up with their processes. Initially, that works okay, right? You can quickly create a checklist of things to do, and you can hand that over. The problem starts to be that as you grow, you start to end up with just a pile of stuff. And it's very difficult to find what you're looking for. It's not easily searchable. It's not particularly well organized. And also then when people come to follow the process, it's not easy to kind of track where they're at, and it's not easy to make updates. And if you do make an update, that doesn't then update all the other versions of it if someone's been copying it and having it as a checklist and so on. So you do start to get to these growing pains where you really need to be able to manage that in a better tool. And you mentioned like Loom, and there are other tools out there just for like recording your screen and doing a video and doing it. And that is great in terms of the speed at which you can, as the business owner, go, oh yeah, let me quickly record a video that explains how to send an invoice. The problem that we tend to see with the video approach is, firstly, it can take longer than quickly capturing a series of steps, right? So in the example I talked about, like capturing the quoting process for that printing business, like it is quicker to just ask questions and go, okay, so what's the outcome? Okay, you need to get a quote to the customer. Okay, take me through the steps that you go through. Boom, 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 high level. Okay, now take me back to like, where in that process is it likely that someone will make a mistake or that it's a bit tricky or whatever? Let's go into that. Okay, what needs to happen as part of that? Is that, you know, you said that that's difficult to find. Should we just put in a screenshot in so that they can find that then? Great. That is really, really fast to create. as fast or faster than recording a video. Because the problem is when you record a video, you're like, you try and explain it and then you end up going a little tangent and you go, oh, actually, what I should have done is in the first step, I should have done this. It's like, now are you going to re-record that video? Yeah. So you've now lost 5-10 minutes? Or are you just going to say that, knowing that the person watching will now have to go back and go, hang on, wait, what was that first step again? Like, it's not obvious. And of course, all of that is okay until you go, oh, and I need to update the process.
Yeah.
Like something's changed. Like I want to add in a step, or, you know, some of the visuals have changed or whatever. And it's like, now you've got to re-record the whole video or record a bit and edit it in and so on. That takes way more time. Whereas in Air Manual, literally you'd click edit, you'd make a change, click publish, you're done. Instead, you're now going to spend 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes redoing that. The other thing is for people following it. Like for them to learn it, they have to watch the whole video through. And then if they forget anything, they have to scrub back through to the video. And I don't know about you, but I can, like when I watch a movie, I can barely find where I got, you know, where I was halfway through, scrubbing back and forwards and so on. So in a process where it's like, oh, well, I had to do this and then this, like trying to find where that bit is really time consuming and not a productive use of time. Plus you can't track your progress. You can't track, you know, for a particular quote, oh, I was 20 minutes, you know, I was halfway through and then I got disrupted and had to take a phone call and then I had to do another urgent quote and then I came back to it and now I can't remember where I left off.
Yeah.
And therefore the chances of making a mistake are higher and so on. So whilst those are better than nothing, definitely, what the reason that we created Air Manual is because you need it in one place. You need to be able to set a realistic expectation that people can find the process, the way of doing things really easily, that they can follow the process along interactively so that they don't miss anything, that if they get disrupted, they can pick up where they left off really quickly. They don't need to think about where was I, even if they had multiple examples on the go. That if a mistake is made or a question comes up or an opportunity for improvement is identified, that you can make that super quick and that all of that becomes easy to manage and scale, because in Air Manual, you've got a dashboard where you can see when am I next needing to chase customers for payment or whatever. And when's it, you know, so when's it next due? Is it overdue? Who's going to do it? And so on. And be able to see all of that at a glance so you can manage all of that. So yes, if you need to go down a free solution, piece of pen, you know, piece of paper and a pen will be better than nothing. But in general, you're going to be better off with a specialized process management tool, and it's going to save you so much time and money that it should be paying for itself in weeks. You know, if you think about like a CRM tool, like why have a CRM? Why keep a database of customer interaction and, you know, all that kind of stuff? It's like, well, because it's going to increase your sales. And if you can increase your sales even by one or two, suddenly that's paid for years worth of your CRM solution. That's why you have that in place. Same, you know, for an accounting solution. Why do you have an accounting solution? Because if you don't pay for a decent accounting solution, it will take you hours, days, weeks, months of your time. And you might get things wrong, which can lead to hefty fines or lots of time as well. Like, with any of these sorts of tools, you are spending a small amount of money to get a hell of a lot back. And that's what we're all about. Like, our number one core value is focus on impact. We're, you know, we don't want to work with anyone who just hands over money and doesn't get any value. We're all about making sure that people are really clear on what's the outcome that they want, whether it's reducing the stress, freeing up the time, growing the business, whatever, and that they then take the right actions to get there so that they can have this incredible impact on themselves, their families, the people that they work with, because that's what really lights us up. So, you know, you spend a small amount of money to kind of get those results. In fact, we've even got an impact guarantee with our team plan, because we believe that strongly. Like, you know, we genuinely want to give people money back if they're not getting the impact in their business. So, you know, that would work out free.
Yeah, well, it invariably does. You get a massive return on investment if you systemize your processes. So give me a case study. So if when you are speaking to people and people are skeptical, and oh yeah, well, it's all well and good you're saying it's going to save me time and money. What are the examples? Give me an example that will say, well, here's the business we went into, and this is where they started, this is where they ended up, this is what they got back.
Yeah, sure. And I've literally got hundreds of these. But if I take one example of an owner of a Georgia at Right Business Results, they help people to get their books written and published and manage their podcasts and blogs and so on. And when we first started working with Georgia, she'd been growing really well, but she was still required as part of every sale, every project, every hire, that at some point she was involved in that process. And so she knew she couldn't scale the business if she couldn't grow beyond her. And so she was going to bring in a salesperson, but she was worried that it would derail her to have to spend so long training this new salesperson. She worked out she'd probably have to spend like 20 to 30 hours per week for the first few weeks training this person to get them up to speed. So what we did was we helped her document what was required in terms of both the process, but the knowledge, the skills, and so on, as an onboarding checklist that the person could then complete when they joined the business. What this meant, even within the first week, was that Georgia only had to spend 5 hours with the person. And in fact, I think it could have been less. I know that with my own team members, typically it takes me about an hour in their first week that I actually need to spend coaching them and so on. But she spent 5 hours. So she worked out that already, I think she had said that she thought it was going to take 23 hours. It took 5 hours to document the processes. And then she spent only a few hours with them in the following week. So she worked out, I remember she worked out that she saved 18 hours in that first week alone, right? 18 hours that she would have had to spend training that one person. She worked out over the person's probation period, which is their first 3 months, that she calculated that she saved 200 hours over the period of that person being onboarded for one hire, which there is a value to her time, right? She charges out her time advising clients as a coach, as a consultant. And so she worked out that that time alone would have been worth over £30,000 to her. Now, for context, the comparative amount that she had spent with Air Manual up to that point was about £1,000. So yeah, she'd got like a 30 times ROI on her spend with Air Manual at that point. And that was with onboarding of one person. Now, of course, not only has she documented other areas of the business and onboarding and so on, but also she's onboarded new members of staff using those exact same processes. And so she gets that same value over and over and over. And the nice thing is, because yes, there's a financial impact there and the results there are not crazy big. Like I've got examples of others where it's by order of magnitude higher in larger businesses and so on. But what I love that example because Georgia's really hot on the numbers. So she calculated it, but it was for one hire. I think people think that documenting your onboarding, oh, well, you probably won't get the value on the first hire, the second hire, the third hire, but maybe after that.
Yeah.
She was getting, you can get it back on the first hire. But the other thing that's particularly special and important to me is that later that year, Georgia's father suddenly passed away. And so she needed to spend time out of the business with her family and so on, you know, taking time to grieve and so on. Now, unfortunately, it coincided the same week as she was hiring and onboarding another new member of staff. Difference was this time she had got all the onboarding in place. And so her team were able to use the processes to onboard the new team member and get them up to speed and get them adding value without having to disrupt her at all. So she was able to focus on what matters most. She was able to spend the time with her family, not get disrupted, and yet the team were able to not miss a beat and able to perform really well. And that's what I love about what we do, is that a relatively small amount of time and money gets you a huge amount of time and money back, but also helps you in those times that are most important for you, for your team, for your family. Like, that's what we're all about.
And do you ever find a difficulty, because we talked about before about people not mindset, not believing the process people, but the other challenge I've sometimes found is people don't put value on their own time. The amount of conversation I've had with people when they'll say, oh yeah, but it's something they say to me and it's quicker for me to do it myself. And I say, right, so, and how much would you charge? How much would you charge to do this actual activity if you were charging as a consultant? Right, so you're going to, as George has done there, so you're going to spend 30K on this. Is that what you think it's really worth? Oh, well, no, but it's still, you know, and it's like, no, if you allocate a value to your time, then actually that's when you will start paying for tools, because you realize, oh, well, if I can pay a grand and it saves me 30 grand worth of time, that's a pretty good deal. Why on earth would I spend my time 200 hours doing it?
Exactly right. And it's, you know, I've got a friend and customer of ours, Nick James, Expert Empires. You know, he talks on stage about £10 tasks, £100 tasks, £1,000 tasks, and how as a business owner, initially, you will need to do all of them. When it's when you're one man band, of course, you need to do your bookkeeping. Yes, you need to be sending invoices and posting on social media and all those sorts of things. But ultimately, you could argue that your most important job as the business owner is to increase the value of your time. How do you do that? You spend less time on low value activities and more time on high value activities. So that's less time sending invoices, responding to quotes, doing the various admin bits and whatever, more time developing strategic partnerships, improving the way in which you sell, creating content that's going to generate more leads, coming up with new products, you know, all those sorts of things. There are like infinite more high value activities that you could be spending your time on. And to illustrate that, imagine that you had, you know, whoever your favorite business person is, you know, Richard Branson, Elon Musk, you know, Zuckerberg, whatever it is, whoever it is out there that you look up to as being super smart, imagine that they bought your business and now run it. Do you think they'd run it the way you do? Do you think they'd be doing the day-to-day activities that you're doing? Or do you think that they would look at 99% of where you're spending your time and say, no, that's low value activity. I need to get that handed over to someone else, right? And ultimately, that's what we all need to be doing as business owners, continually challenging what are the £10, £100 tasks that we should be letting go of. And it's an iterative process. Like, I remember a time when the highest value activity I could do was having sales conversations. And so I need to let go of admin, all these sorts of things, so that I could have sales conversations. And then I remember when actually that was kind of a medium value activity. My high value activity was finding A players and recruiting and onboarding them into my team so that we could grow as a business. So switching my time. And then fast forward, and there's a time when that's a medium value activity. Actually, my highest value is finding strategic partnerships that provide geometric growth that allows me to hire multiple people or whatever it is. Like, it changes over time. It is a constant iterative cycle of looking at how do you increase the value of your time. And if you're exactly as you say, if you're thinking, oh, well, it'll take me longer to train someone than to do it myself, you're not thinking long-term enough. You're not thinking about how do you let go of things? Because arguably every single thing you do in your business should be let go of at some point. There is going to be, you know, roll the clock forward 10 years from now, and the high value adding tasks that you'll be doing then do not include any of the ones that you're doing right now. And so as a result, you've got to hold those tasks lightly.
I was just going to say, it's an interesting point, because even when you may have the right mindset, and you mentioned it before, even when you think you've got the right mindset, even when you think you know what you're doing, you can still fall into that trap. When I first started doing the podcast, I used to do everything. I used to do the editing, I used to do clips. And now, you know, I basically sit here, I do the interview, and that's pretty much it, because I just start thinking, hang on, I can do it, but I'm not really enjoying it, and it's wasting so much time. And while I'm doing that, I'm not finding the right guests, I'm not preparing for it, etc. All I'm doing is, right, I've got to do this. Then I'm putting it off. Then I'm spending it. So I spend an hour a day editing, and you're thinking, why on earth am I? I'm not a video editor. I can edit, but why on earth am I doing that when I can give it to someone else who can do it in half the time, a much better job, and get it and post it all over wherever I need it to be posted. So even when you think, oh yeah, no, I'm quite good at systemizing what I'm doing, you can quite easily get sucked into it, especially when it's a new project that you're working on. So we're coming to the end of the time. I can't believe it. I've just looked at the clock and thought, bloody hell, it's off 5 already. So just give me 3 things that people should stop doing, because you've given me lots of ideas about what you need to do to start. So what are the things that people need to stop doing to get out of their way to actually be able to do to start systemizing the processes?
Yeah, I'd say that the thing to stop doing, right, is the self-sabotage, like the constant thinking of just like, oh no, I'll do it myself, or no one else can do this but me, and so on. Like taking that moment just to stop, you know, it reminds me from the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, where he talks about you're in a forest and you come to someone who's furiously trying to chop down a tree with a saw, and they're sweating, they clearly look exhausted. And you say, well, you know, what are you doing? They say, oh, I'm trying to chop down this tree. And it's like, but you look exhausted. And say, well, yeah, I've been doing it for 5 hours already. And you say, well, have you tried stopping and resting and sharpening the saw? And say, well, don't be ridiculous. I can't do that. I've got to chop down this tree. Right. And it's just stopping and taking that step back so that you can do that. And I think sometimes it needs to be a bit forced. I think that, you know, it's a bit like that business owner of the printing company. He wouldn't have spent the time with me to get it documented if we hadn't had a call scheduled. And so as a starting point, I'd highly recommend that people arrange a call with a member of my team. You can get it for free, and they'll help you prioritize where you should free up your time, and they'll show you exactly how to get documents and so on. Like, that is a good way of getting 45 minutes blocked in your calendar where you are going to work on your business rather than in it. So go to emmanuel.link/demo and you can get that booked in. But even if you need to do a bit more work on like the understanding, like I do a regular webinar on how to free up 15 hours a week and remove the constant stress of running a business, people can check it out at emmanuel.co/webinar, where, you know, we cover these sorts of things. And again, like, why do we do it like that? So that you just block out the time, you put aside an hour to actually work on your business and identify. And in fact, you know, as part of one of the activities we do on that webinar, we identify where's the low value added activities, where's the high value added activities, how are you going to make the switch? And we go through exactly how to put it in place. And I think, you know, that's what you've got to do to be able to make progress on this. And I think in some cases, you know, we've talked a lot about like freeing up the time and documenting and so on. I did a presentation on Friday last week, and one of the questions in the Q&A was, where do I start? Which process do I start with? And my answer is really simple. It's, where's the pain? Yeah. What's taking up the time at the moment? What's causing the biggest problem? Because that's the right answer. It's not to document every part of your business. In fact, that's not even desirable. You should never get to 100%. If you do, it's diminishing returns. There'll be things that you're documenting that you're not getting value from. You've got to start from the other end. And so, you know, that's like, we do a podcast, De-Stress Your Business, where we literally go deep into specific challenges, whether it's onboarding or recruiting or performance management or sales or whatever, because we know that people have different areas that are a pain or that are taking up the time or whatever, because it changes over time. Like, your business is always changing, or hopefully it is, as if you're growing it and developing it, the challenge is always changing. And so, you know, you've got to make that time to get that time back.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a good place to start bringing to a close, because everyone always talks about prioritizing. It's very interesting that people are focused in business all the time, and how do you prioritize your time. And one of the best ways to do it, as you just said there, is by actually documenting your procedures and looking at what the high value activities, what the low value activities, what the medium activity, the value activity, and where should you be spending your time. And as you said, all the books, the e-myth, the attractions, etc., they'll go through all that, but they don't give you the tools to actually then do it. And that's the key. That's where the gravy is, really. So if you had one thing that you would want to leave the people with, and I've obviously got your links here, and those links will be in the podcast description, so people want to get the demo or the webinar, which I suggest very highly that you do. But yeah, just one thing, what would that be in terms of leaving people with around systemizing processes in your business?
Yeah, I think it's ultimately, it's you need to spend time on what matters most. And to do that, you need to let go of those things that don't matter so much. And whether that means just not doing them, or if they need to happen, then you're going to need to document and delegate. As we've talked about, there is a really effective approach for doing that. If you're going to be successful, grow your business, reduce the stress, free up your time, you need to learn what it is and implement it.
Thank you very much, Alexis Kingsbury. I really appreciate you coming on. I know for a fact that people will listen to this and watch this and have got as much out of it as I did. So really appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much.
Et voila. I dare you to tell me that you didn't get any benefit from that episode, because I certainly did. And that may be because I love talking about process. And I know that may seem a bit sad to some of you, but I also love talking about mindset. And I never thought that the two could be linked. But what do you know? They are. So I really enjoyed the section when Alexis was talking about that the rapid scaling of a business is a combination of people plus process. And I'm certainly going to be using that as I move forward in my business. So Alexis, I think you'll agree, was clear, engaging, and most of all gave great reasons for why you need to put process into your business. And he also gave great advice on how and where to start. If you don't want your business to grow as fast as it could and should, then you can ignore this advice, but I know you won't. Not if you've got any common sense anyway. So remember, systemizing your business helps you focus on high value tasks, which will enable you to add more value to your business and grow quicker. And if you ever think the process is not for you, remember Alexis's analogy about pilots and surgeons. If you're still worried about where to start, then go and get the Air Manual demo, and the details are in the podcast description. Don't forget to check out the show notes at www.thesalesaccelerationformula.com. And as always, subscribe, like, and share with your friends, colleagues, and anyone else who may be interested. But most of all, and I keep saying it, and thank you very much for those who do, keep the feedback coming so that we can continue to improve and give you more of what you like. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Keep listening and keep growing.